All right. I want to address one of the most destructive ideologies that has gained a strong foothold in our culture today, and that is of a new and very dangerous definition of tolerance. Okay? Now, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish or destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised up against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ." Okay? As we talked about last week, sometimes before people will take you seriously regarding the gospel message of Christ, you often have to destroy or demolish the strongholds that keep people from seriously considering the message of Jesus Christ. Okay? And these walls that we are called to destroy or demolish or overturn are false ideas that hold the culture captive, that keep people from seriously considering your message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and seriously listening to truth, okay? Not just the gospel, but to truth. Okay? And one of the most destructive ideologies of our time today is this new tolerance, okay? The worst thing that you can be labeled today is intolerant, right? Or narrow-minded. That's equal to being a racist, okay? Or a bigot of some sort. Intolerance, many of us are afraid of being called intolerant, whether at work or at school, okay? That's one of the worst things that you can be called. However, one of the most dangerous ideas being embraced by our culture today is a new and false definition of tolerance. And tolerance is one of the most valued virtues of our day, but it's also one of the most misunderstood and misapplied. And the charge leveled against Christians today is that Christianity is not only wrong, but dangerous. All right? We are now the bad guys in the culture. Okay? So we're not just wrong, we're dangerous because Christianity practices a religion of intolerance. Okay? Christians believe that we have the truth, and whoever has a different view then is wrong, okay? And so we're considered intolerant, and that is what has led to much of the conflict in the world today, okay? However, the tolerance that our culture embraces today is not the true definition of tolerance. It's a false and very dangerous definition. And any culture that accepts this definition of tolerance drinks its own poison. Okay? It's only going to lead to the death of a society or a culture. As we talked about Romans 1, the disintegration of a culture begins when they reject God, and then number two, they embrace false ideas. Our culture has embraced relativism, and our culture has embraced the new tolerance. We're just on our way to our own destruction. All right? Now, let me tell you the difference between the two definitions. Okay? The traditional or dictionary definition of tolerance, according to Webster's dictionary, is this: to recognize and respect others' beliefs without practicing or sharing them. Okay? So true tolerance values and respects and accepts individuals without approving or participating in his or her beliefs or behavior. All right? I respect you as a person created in the image of God, but I don't agree with your particular belief or your particular lifestyle, all right? But I disagree. And I'm going to do all I can to persuade you to my position, but I'm not going to persecute you. I'm not going to throw you in jail, all right? I'm not going to demean you. I'm going to treat you, you know, like a human being created in God's image, but I think you're wrong. And I'm going to do all I can to persuade you to my position. And I expect you to do the same to me. Treat me with respect, but do all you can to persuade me to your position. And through civil dialogue, we'll see whose position is correct here, okay? But that's true tolerance. We practice tolerance because we disagree, all right? Because we disagree. And I think I'm right, and I think you're wrong. You think I'm wrong, and you're right, and we're going to tolerate one another and value and respect one another, but we're going to persuade one another to another position, all right? Now, this tolerance is based on three assumptions. First, that objective truth exists out there, okay? We talked about last time how the culture has embraced relativism. Well, it's hard to practice true tolerance if there's no such thing as absolute truth, right? But this true tolerance is built on the idea that there is such thing as truth, and it's our duty to pursue the truth, to find it, and to discover it. Second, the parties in dispute think they have the correct position on truth, and they think the other person is indeed wrong. Third, the parties in dispute agree that the best chance of uncovering the truth is by cordial discussion, trying to persuade one another, okay, of their particular position. Okay, so it's a reasonable dialogue and unhindered exchange of ideas, all right, even if one party may be offended, all right? So that's the basic premise of tolerance, that there is such thing as truth out there. Contradictory positions cannot be true at the same time and in the same way. Is homosexuality a sin or is it not? You can't say it is a sin and it is not a sin and both positions are correct at the same time. Well, who's right? Well, the best way is to be in a cordial discussion about it, to discuss positions and to try and persuade one another to each position. Okay, does God exist or does he not exist? Well, both can't be right at the same time and in the same way. Well, who's right? Well, let's discuss. Let's look at the evidence and see who's got the stronger weight of the evidence on their side. Okay, and I'm going to try to persuade you to my position. You're going to try to persuade me to yours. But it's this unhindered exchange of dialogue, okay, that we're going to discover what the truth is. And whoever has the evidence and the facts, okay, their position should be the conclusion we eventually come to, okay? Now, this tolerance is based on biblical teaching, on biblical principles, all right? It's built on the idea that you and I are created in the image of God. We all have value, and whether, you know, even if you're wrong, I should treat you with respect, and I shouldn't persecute you, but I should try to persuade you to my position. Jesus could have wiped out and killed anybody who disagreed with him, right? But he didn't. Okay, what did he do? He tried to persuade you, all right, away from ideas that are false to truth, all right? The apostles, that's different from Islam, different from Marxist socialism and communism, right? If you didn't agree with Islam, what happened? You meet the sword, okay? Communism, you don't agree, they throw you in a work camp, okay, and deprogram you, okay? Or they just take you out, okay? Jesus and the apostles didn't do that, all right? They spread their message by the preaching of the word, and it's the power of truth and the truth of their arguments that persuaded people to their position. But if you didn't agree with them, they didn't come out and persecute you, okay? To force people to become Christians goes against the example of Jesus and the apostles. So when the church did that, that was wrong, all right? But true tolerance is rooted in biblical teaching here, okay? Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, you've heard, it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and send rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. All right? Next, an alien may be treated as one of your native born. Galatians 3, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male or female, for you all one in Christ Jesus. Okay? Christianity taught the acceptance and value of all people, okay, and the value of all human life. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in understanding, showing honor to women as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs of you, the grace of life, so that your prayers may be unhindered. Okay? Back then, remember, women were second class, and Peter says what? They're co-heirs of you, of eternal life in Christ. All right? So wherever Christianity has gone, it's always elevated the status of women. All right? Look at what happened when Christianity came to Japan and China, okay, and in India, all right, and throughout the world. It's always elevated the status of women, okay? There's a misnomer out there that Christianity is anti-woman, all right? But Peter says here, they're co-heirs, okay, of eternal life with you, all right? So wherever Christianity has gone, it's always elevated the status of women, okay? So Christianity taught to love your enemies. Jesus accepted the Samaritan woman, all right? The woman in adultery who was a Samaritan of a different race, okay? And Jesus befriends her at the well, and she becomes one of the first evangelists telling her entire city about Jesus. When a Pharisee asked Jesus, "Who's my neighbor?" Jesus told the story of the good Jewish man. No, he told the story of the good Samaritan, okay, a despised people. And Jesus said, you know, hey, let me tell you who is my neighbor. Let me tell you the story of a good Samaritan, all right? He touched and he healed the lepers, okay? So Jesus demonstrated tolerance. This tolerance is rooted in biblical teaching, all right? Now, although Jesus and the apostles accepted all peoples, they did not tolerate a lot of things. Okay? They did not tolerate sinful behavior, okay, or teaching that was wrong and false. They did not tolerate that. Okay? Look at what Paul writes. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." They did not tolerate sinful, harmful behavior. That's something they did not tolerate, okay? They did not tolerate greed, unjust exploitation of people. John 2, that's why Jesus overturned the temple, all right? The using of a Jewish religion to make money and exploiting non-Jews, the Gentiles. He wasn't going to put up with that. And so he violently overturns the table and kicks out all the money changers, right? They would not tolerate false teachings. Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, "If I or an angel or any other man come to you and preach a gospel other than the one that you've heard, may he be eternally condemned." Okay, that's the harshest words of condemnation found in the whole Bible. Okay, Paul wasn't going to tolerate someone preaching a false gospel or something that is false. Jesus would not tolerate false views of God and salvation. Okay, look what he had to say to the teachers of Israel. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness." All right? Those are harsh words of rebuke. Jesus wasn't going to put up with teachings about God and salvation that were false. He wasn't going to put up with that kind of stuff. Okay? So you see that true tolerance has moral boundaries. Tolerance doesn't mean I tolerate anything at any time, okay? You want to shoot up drugs? Ah, I tolerate that. Ah, you want to, you know, go drive your car 100 miles? Ah, I tolerate that. Oh, you want to live this? Ah, I tolerate that. Oh, you believe racism is good? Ah, I tolerate. That's not true tolerance, okay? True tolerance has moral boundaries, all right? And we need to know what those boundaries are. A culture that doesn't know what those boundaries are is a culture that is doomed to their own demise. All right, you're going to tolerate cultures that practice pedophilia? Huh? You're going to tolerate cultures that teach men can have sex with elementary school girls? You're going to tolerate that? You know? See, true tolerance has moral boundaries. What are those boundaries? Well, a culture that doesn't have those boundaries anymore is a culture that is doomed to its own destruction, okay? So Jesus was tolerant and accepted all people and valued all people. All right, but he knew where the moral boundaries were and the things that we cannot tolerate. All right, a healthy human body can take in a whole lot of things. All right, but when there's something that's taken in that's harmful to the human body fights it and gets it out of the system. It will not tolerate it. That's a healthy culture. All right, takes in good, but knows what is bad and will not tolerate the bad. When a human body doesn't know what's bad and will take in anything, okay, that's a guy ready for suicide. A culture that doesn't know what the moral boundaries are between true ideas and false ideas, just and good ideas and false and morally dangerous ideas. A culture doesn't know that. It's doomed to its own destruction, all right? So that's the traditional view of tolerance, all right? That I treat you with respect because you're created in the image of God, but I do not agree with you, okay? And there are moral boundaries which, if you cross that, I will not tolerate, okay? I'll do everything I can to stand against that. Now, the new definition of tolerance, it's a very dangerous tolerance. And any culture that adopts this definition drinks its own poison, all right? Now, the new definition is built on what we studied last week. There's no such thing as absolute truth. It's all relative. No one has the truth. Okay? Truth of reality cannot be known. And it's arrogant for anyone to think that they have the truth and others are wrong. All right? So it's built on a whole idea of the relativism of truth. Because there's no such thing as absolute truth, no one can say they have the truth. Therefore, no one can say anyone's right or anyone's wrong. Therefore, we come up with this new definition of tolerance. The new definition of tolerance says all values, beliefs, lifestyles, and truth claims are equally valid and true. Okay? Is homosexuality a sin? Well, you can't say I'm right or I'm wrong. Okay, you can't go up to someone and say, well, your lifestyle, beliefs, values are wrong. That's being intolerant. That's something you don't want to be. All right? So no one then has the right to judge another person's view as right or wrong. All right? I was at the university the other day, and someone, of course, they always want to ask that question, is homosexuality a sin? And I said, well, according to the Bible, and before I could even finish, don't judge lest you be judged. You shouldn't judge anybody. You have no right to judge whatsoever. No right. Okay? Okay, that's what you often, but that's the new tolerance. All beliefs, values, and lifestyles are equally valid and true. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. We should accept everyone's position as equally valid and true. All beliefs, all lifestyles, all value. You Christian? Okay, you think that's right? Well, good for you. I'm an atheist. I think I'm right. But I'm not going to call you wrong. You shouldn't call me wrong either. Okay? Look what's going on with the NFL. All right? Look what's going on over there. Okay? Anyone who speaks out against what the players are doing is what? Racist, intolerant, okay? Oh, man. All right. Now, this has pretty much taken over the culture and the church as well. The majority of teenagers, okay, adhere to the new tolerance. And this is in good Bible-teaching churches, too, okay, that the majority of Christian teens buy into the new tolerance. 80% of Americans buy into the new tolerance, okay? Is that going to affect ministry in church? Yeah, you bet. If all values, lifestyles are equally valid and true, why should I evangelize anybody? Why should I? Everybody's right. Nobody's wrong. You know, I remember youth pastors coming up and talking to me saying, our kids don't want to share their faith because they don't want to be seen as intolerant on the high school and university campus. They're deadly afraid of being called intolerant. So they don't want to share their faith, okay? That's the majority of American society. That's the majority of Christian teens, all right? And you can see that it dominates our culture today. Back in 2009, a bill was passed in Hawaii. We're the first state to declare September 24th as Islam Day. Okay, so we're the only state in the U.S. to have Islam Day, September 24th. That was brought to us by Representative Will Espero. Okay, now, what did he base his bill on? What did he base his bill on? Was it on the tremendous, tolerant, loving teaching and example of Muhammad and Islam? No, Muhammad was a warrior, killed thousands of people, raped women, all right? Did they build it on the teachings of the Quran? That says what? Smite unbelievers wherever you find them. Smite their necks. Cut off their fingertips, okay? The unbelievers are the vilest of all creatures, all right? I mean, is that what he built it on? No. What about the history of Islam that wiped out thousands of Christians and civilizations, North Africa and the Middle East? He built it on this. Here's what he said. We are a state of tolerance. We understand that people have different beliefs. We may not all agree on every single item and issue out there, but to say and highlight the negativity of the Islamic people is an insult to the majority of believers who are good law-abiding citizens of the world. What did he build his case on? Tolerance. Tolerance. All right. Has he studied the history of the law of dimitude? And what happens to Nate? Look what's going on in Europe when Muslims get to 10% of the population. Look at what happens, all right? Until then, they abide by the laws of the land. But when they get to 10%, what happens? Look at what's going on in London, okay? Detroit now, okay? Look what's happening, all right? But he says, we're to build it because we are tolerant, okay? We are tolerant, all right? So we've bought into that idea. And it's not just liberal politicians, conservatives too. You know, we had on the show, and I was talking on new tolerance. And we had Gene Ward on the show. And when I was done, you know, Gene Ward came. He was late on our radio, so we had to extend it. And when he came on, he goes, I completely disagree with you about tolerance. Tolerance works. Tolerance works. The state of Hawaii proves tolerance works. We tolerate anyone. And tolerance works in the state of Hawaii. We're proof of that. So you're wrong, Pat. You know, what you're teaching is wrong. And he opened the interview like that. And I said, you would allow ISIS to come to Hawaii and proliferate? You would allow Al-Qaeda to come here and proliferate? You would allow the KKK to come here and put their educational system in our education system and proliferate? You would tolerate all that? And he was like, well, you know, we're a state of tolerance. Tolerance, we're proof that tolerance works. And I said, so you would tolerate ISIS coming to Hawaii and proliferating their agenda here in Hawaii? You would tolerate that? You know, he said, well, it's not constitutional. It goes against constitution. I said, okay, so you would not tolerate that? And he said, well, we're a state of tolerance, you know. And so we had to go to a commercial break. And I said, well, I don't think you heard my show, Gene, but the new tolerance is a dangerous definition. The traditional or dictionary definition of tolerance, that's good. But the new definition of tolerance is not good. And we went to a commercial break. Okay, when we came back, I changed the topic on what we were supposed to talk about, Hawaii being a sanctuary state. But you can see even Gene had the wrong definition of tolerance, okay? So when our public and government leaders have the wrong definition of tolerance, watch out for the kind of laws that are going to start coming down the pike here, okay? Now, here's some of the failures and dangers of the new tolerance. Here's why this thing fails, all right? First of all, truth by its nature is absolute, it's narrow, and exclusive, all right? Because truth by its nature excludes its opposite, all right? So when you're accused of being narrow-minded, right? You should say, yeah, well, because that's the nature of truth. That's the nature of truth, all right? Because truth excludes its opposite. Okay, remember Aristotle's law of non-contradiction. This is the basic law of logic, all right? This is the basis of all our thinking. Opposites cannot be true at the same time and in the same way, all right? Cultures all over the world practice this. It's the basis of our contradiction is a sign of error, right? We all know that, okay? So opposites cannot be true at the same time and in the same way. That's why truth is narrow. Okay, it's absolute and it's exclusive because truth excludes its opposite. If this podium stand is black, then it can't be white. You can't say this is black and white and they both be right at the same time and in the same way. Okay? That's just the nature of truth. Okay, so opposites cannot be true at the same time and in the same way. Truth by its nature is exclusive, it's universal, and it's narrow. 2 + 2 = can it equal 8, 10, whatever I want? How narrow-minded. Well, that's the nature of truth, okay? A triangle has 3 sides and only 3 sides. Oh, how narrow-minded. Well, that's the nature of truth, okay? In 2015, Barack Obama and only Barack Obama was president of the United States. Oh, how narrow-minded. Well, that's the nature of truth, okay? You would hope that your doctor has a very narrow view of truth, okay? When you go to the doctor, okay, and you say, what's my blood pressure? Okay, and he says, well, you know, 120 over 80 or 110 over 60 or well, I don't know, whatever you want it to be. You know, somewhere in here, you know, about 80, one, yeah, you'd fire that guy in a minute, okay? You better hope your accountant has a very narrow view of truth, okay? When you go to the accountant and say, how much money is in my account? And he goes, well, I think $500 or $500,000. I don't know. It's somewhere around there. You'd fire the guy in a minute, all right? When a guy's doing surgery, you better hope he has a narrow view of truth, okay? When you go to your pharmacist, you better hope he has a narrow view of truth. There's a big difference, right, between bear aspirin and rat poison, right? I mean, a big difference here, okay? So that's the nature of truth. Truth is absolute. Truth is narrow. Truth is exclude. That's just the nature of truth. So when people say, oh, you're so narrow-minded, you're intolerant, well, that's how truth is, all right? A triangle has 10 sides? No, only 3, all right? That's just the nature of truth, all right? Truth is determined by the facts. So the only way to determine truth, then, is to look and consider the evidence. All beliefs and values are not morally equivalent. Okay, are all beliefs, should we tolerate all ideologies, beliefs, and behaviors out there? Should we tolerate them all? Should we tolerate the beliefs of the KKK and say, yeah, we want this taught to our children as true and valid? I mean, I may not live that way, but it's true. Or should we have the courage to stand up and say, this ideology is false, and here's why, and we're not going to tolerate that here? What about Nazi Germany? Should we say, well, their ideology was equally true and valid? Well, I'm glad the Allies didn't. I'm glad they were able to stand up to it and say, it's false, and we're going to put an end to this. What about the Taliban and ISIS? Are their beliefs, values, and lifestyles equally valid and true? And should it be tolerated and allowed to proliferate in any society? Or should we have the courage to say, no, it's wrong. Here's why it's wrong. And we stand opposed to it, and we're not going to let it flourish here. Or do we tolerate all of these ideologies and lifestyles as equally valid and true and should be protected and allowed to be promoted in our culture? Should we? Of course not. What about this ideology? He wants the complete destruction of America and Israel. Should we say, well, that's equally valid and true, and we should tolerate that? Or should we stand up against ideologies like this? What about, how does the Quran teach how to treat non-Muslims? Fight and slay the pagans wherever you find them. Seize them, beleaguer them, and lie in wait for them in every stratagem. Fight those who believe not in Allah nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which hath been forbidden by Allah and his prophet, nor acknowledge the religion of truth, even if they are people of the book, okay, that's Jews and Christians, until they pay the jizya, the heavy, heavy unbelievers tax, and with willing submission feel themselves subdued. So here are the ways you treat an unbeliever. You kill them, or they have to live in submission as a second-class citizen, paying the heavy jizya tax, and feel themselves second-class citizens and subdued, or they convert. Should we tolerate that kind of teaching? Or should we say, no, that ideology is false. We're not going to let it proliferate here. Okay. What about the way the Quran teaches on how to treat women? Men are the maintainers of women because Allah has made some of them to excel others and because they spend out of their property. The good women are therefore obedient, guarding the unseen as Allah has guarded. And of those whose on part you fear desertion, admonish them. Leave them alone in the sleeping places and beat them. Then if they obey you, do not seek any way against them. Surely Allah is high and great. Should we tolerate that? Should we say, if I'm not pleased with my wife, I can throw her in a room and beat her? Is that equally valid and true and behavior we should tolerate? Is that what we want our boys to learn on how to treat their wives? Or should we say, this ideology is wrong, and we stand against this. The prophet said, isn't the witness of a woman equal to half that of a man? The woman said, yes. And he said, this is because of the deficiency of a woman's mind. Is this true, ladies? Huh? Is this something you want taught to all your boys? That's why Malala wasn't allowed to go to school. Right, in Islamic cultures there in Pakistan, all right? She was shot in the head for wanting to go to school. Should we tolerate that kind of behavior as equally valid and true? Okay, so truth by its nature is absolute, it's narrow, it's exclusive. That's the nature of truth. Okay? All beliefs are not equally valid and true. Okay, there's not a moral equivalency here. All right, the values and beliefs of the KKK are not morally equivalent to biblical teachings. The teaching of ISIS, the Taliban, the Quran, okay, is not morally equivalent to what the Bible teaches. Okay, and the new tolerance is not livable. Okay, it's not livable. Even those who advocate the new tolerance, okay, the liberals, cannot live out what they believe, all right? Remember a few years ago, Michael Sam was the first openly gay homosexual player to be drafted in the NFL, all right? And when he was drafted, the news sportscasters asked Tony Dungy, okay, and we all know that Tony Dungy is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And they asked Tony Dungy, would you have drafted him? And this is what Tony Dungy said. I wouldn't have drafted him, Dungy said, not because I don't believe Michael Sam should have a chance to play, but I wouldn't want to deal with all the distractions. It's not going to be totally smooth. Things will happen, okay? So Tony Dungy said, well, I want to draft him just because of all of the distractions, all right? The next day, Tony Dungy got burned by everyone, okay? Not only in the sports world, but also on talk shows all over the country as a racist, a bigot, ignorant, and intolerant person. Okay. Keith Olbermann stated on his show, Tony Dungy is the world's worst person in sports. Okay. Called him the meanest man. It labeled Tony Dungy as a hypocrite. Compared his comments to racism. All right? So he just got burned by everyone there in the sports world and on talk shows throughout the United States, okay, for what he said. Now, if you know Tony Dungy, he is a very gracious, gracious man. I don't think there's a hateful bone in that man's body. All right? But this is what they were saying on him because of what he said. Now, just the year before, the same thing was said, the exact same thing was said about another player. His name was Tim Tebow. And people were, he was cut from the Denver Broncos, and people were asking, would you pick up this guy? And they were saying, no, because, you know, he's such an outspoken Christian. He's a distraction, okay? He'd be a distraction. They said the exact same thing, and nobody said anything. All right? Everyone said, yeah, probably a distraction. But here's Tony Dungy, who says the same thing about another player because he's homosexual. He just gets blitzed by everyone. All right? No one tolerated Tony Dungy's position. Okay? But we're all told to tolerate it. Everyone's equally valid and true. Okay? But when you disagree with the party line, they're not going to tolerate you. Okay? You disagree with what the NFL players are doing, you're what? Racist. Okay? It has nothing to do with race at all. We're talking about respecting the flag and the anthem. You know, it's a tradition that was started over 150 years ago, you know, during the Civil War when the country was completely divided. And they started doing that at a baseball game to show as a symbol of unity of the nation, you know, and in the most divisive times, the anthem has been that. So it's always been a symbol of unity, you know, and to use it now as a symbol to protest and cause division, well, you're going against what it all stands for, okay? But to disagree with what they're doing, you know, I mean, on the show, I was called racist, bigot, you know, all that kind of stuff, okay? All right, so they'll tolerate you as long as you toe the party line. Once you don't toe the party line, you're labeled intolerant, racist, bigot, okay, and it's thrown in your face, all right? So they cannot even live out their own position, okay? Ben Carson, when he was running for president, asked him, would you vote for a Muslim president, okay? And he said, no. All right, because he says Sharia law contradicts our constitution, and he's absolutely right on that. And he was called what? Intolerant, racist, bigot. Okay, Ben Carson. All right. Okay, so they can't even live out their own position. It is not livable. All right. And finally, a tolerant society will eventually be destroyed by those who will not tolerate it, okay? Karl Popper, he's a philosopher, said this, okay? If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them, all right? If you want to tolerate an ideology like ISIS or whatever, or fundamentalist Islam, they're eventually not going to tolerate you, okay? So a society that accepts this new definition of tolerance drinks its own poison and its own destruction. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. British Prime Minister David Cameron, when he took office, gave what he said was one of his most important speeches. And he said this, the decades-old policy of multiculturalism, the belief that all cultures, values, lifestyles are valid and true and should be tolerated has failed miserably And now England and other European nations have become one of the largest breeding grounds for radical Islam. The policy has allowed Islamic militants leeway to radicalize young Muslims, some of whom went on to the next level by becoming terrorists, and that Europe could not defeat terrorism simply by actions we take outside our borders. With military actions like the war in Afghanistan, Europe needs to wake up to what is happening in our own countries, he said. We have to get to the root of these problems, okay, of the problem. So he was exactly right. You just can't defeat radical Islam on the battlefield. You've got to defeat the ideology. But if there's no such thing as absolute truth, if it's all relative, if all beliefs, lifestyles, and values are equally valid and true, then how are you going to defeat the ideology? Based on what? So you can see what's going on in Europe. It has severe concert. On what basis can you say radical or fundamentalist Islam is wrong and should be stood up against? Well, we don't like it. What do you say? You know? Okay? So therefore, that new definition of tolerance is a very, very dangerous one. If you don't, if a tolerant society will tolerate anything, then those who are intolerant will destroy a tolerant society. Okay? All right. Any questions on what we talked about so far? Okay, let's take a break. And when we come back from the break, we'll talk about the moral guidelines and did Jesus teach the new tolerance? All right? Okay, so let's take a break.